Hi, welcome to live coding music with microblocks and microcontrollers. This is Bernat Romagosa. I come from Barcelona, and I work as a Snap and microblocks developer at SAP, together in the same company with Jan Sanyadga, and together in the same project with a lot of people here in the room, like John, who is the creator of microblogs and so many other things, like Turgut, like Kathy, and of course, Jan Sanyadga, who also contribute to microblogs. For the purpose of this talk, I never mentioned this, but for the purpose of this talk, I will mention I am an ex-musician. I used to play in a reggae band for a bunch of years. And recently, I got into making music again with microcontrollers, so I guess that makes me a musician again. But I don't know, you'll have to judge after this. And you can find me here, so that's who I am. And next, I guess I should talk about what microblogs is in case you didn't attend John, Kathy, and Turgut's talk yesterday. So microblogs is a, well, first of all, you can find all about it here, but I'll brief you in. So it's visual blocks in the same way that Scratch and Snap are. And I mentioned these two languages because these are the closest relatives. The blocks are one thing. What's behind the blocks is a different thing. The blocks is how we present the code. But what's most important about these three languages is that they are live, they are parallel. And that's usually not mentioned when we talk about blocks-based programming. We put them in the same bag. But that would be like putting all text-based languages in the same bag, right? There are languages that are interpreted, others that are compiled. So yeah, it's like Scratch and Snap, but for microcontrollers. These are small computer-like devices. It's a live language. It's an autonomous language. That means that the code runs actually inside of the microcontroller, and you can unplug it at any time, and the code will keep on running. And it's a parallel language, meaning you can have multiple threads running at the same time inside of the microcontroller. And it's a portable language, meaning that you can run the exact same code in several different microcontrollers, even of different architectures. We even have versions of the what we call the microblocks virtual machine running on the browser. So it's a very portable piece of code. And since the talk is about live coding music with microcontrollers, I thought I should talk a little bit about what live coding is in the context of making music. Live coding is programming things in real time, right? Well, in the case of music and digital media, because there are people who make visuals live with programming, it's programming digital media live in real time for an audience like you. So you may ask, okay, but how does one make music with a microcontroller? And the answer is, well, it's easy. You just generate signals, right? A microcontroller can generate square waves, can generate sine waves. And your answer obviously will be, yeah, okay. But what about music like it's 2024? Like, what about actual music I want to dance to? And yeah, so the idea we had in that regard is let's use devices that already know how to make music and let's interface with them. Okay? So we're using MIDI for that. And without further ado, I will try to make some music for you today. I wanted to explain what I was doing as I was making the music. I'm not sure this is going to work because I have a pretty sketchy setup where I connected my synthesizer to this thing here that's beaming audio to the back there, and then I don't know if I'll be able to do the two things at the same time. And I don't know if I'll be able to hold my microphone either.
I'm really good at it.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, let me try if it works first. That's a bit too loud, is it? Is it good? Yeah, okay. Okay, so the first thing you need when you make music is obviously a little bit of a drum beat. So what I'm going to do is, forever, I'm going to wait until the next whole note. I apologize a bit for those of you who don't have any notions about music, but this will kind of make sense. I will wait until the next. Oh yeah. Is that good? I won't be able to fit as much music in it. And then I'll play some drum. Let's say I'll play a bass drum. And for how long? Well, for a quarter note. And we'll keep it a little bit. There we go. That's not enough for dancing. I mean, you have to be. Then at the next half note, I'm going to play a snare. Okay, so what do we need next? We need some bass. So we'll pretty much do the same thing. After every whole note, we'll arpeggiate. Let's say we'll arpeggiate a major chord, because I'm feeling happy. And we'll do it at, we'll just use the default configuration. And of course, this is going to sound not like I want it to. No. So what I'll do is I'll select a different instrument for this MIDI channel. MIDI is organized in channels. And I'll select the bass number one, for example. Let's see what this sounds like. This is a bass, but it's a bit too high-pitched. So let's bring it down a bunch of octaves. That's better. But of course, since it got lower-pitched, it also got lower-volumed. So I'll make it loud, as bass should always be. No, but bass is indispensable. Let's get a different bass. These are all the same bass. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. What else do we need? Well, we can already dance a little bit to this, but it'd be interesting to, you know, get some chords going on. So we'll basically use the same thing. And instead of arpeggiating, we're going to play. Let's say we'll use the major chord on channel 2, where we'll obviously select a different instrument. Yeah, it should be good. Let's see how it sounds. Okay. You have to understand this is my set of instruments that I collected from different synthesizers and sound fonts. So what I call a piano is not what you might think of as a piano, but this is my favorite piano. And I want this to play for a quarter note again. Not as loud. Piano is in the background. That's okay, but a little bit boring. Let's go. Three tones up. Okay. So you can see a little bit how this works. I would usually be faster if I explaining it to you. At this point, it's starting to become a little bit boring, right? So, can I turn it down? Yeah. It starts to become a little boring, and you can choose different two things when you're doing live coding and it becomes boring. One is you embrace it and, you know, start dancing. The other way is you start to shuffle things around. And the other way is you add new stuff or you stop stuff that was given, like no baseline for a while. I will add one more thing and then we'll start playing with what we have on the screen. I'm sorry, I will have to make it a little bit smaller, because otherwise I won't be able to make it. And what I'll do is I'll make yet another. Let's see, I want to have hi-hat. And. Can you not hear? Oh yes. And we can change the order of our baseline or make it longer. Top it off, we could, I guess, add a little bit of improvisation to it. We will improvise over a scale that might work. A major scale. And we will enchant a scale, and then we'll decide what to put in there. And I'll do that. Not every whole bit, but every, let's say, okay, as you can see, this sound font that I'm using is a kind of a retro one, but the nice thing about using a external synthesizer is I can change the sound font. Instruments again after it goes. But you see how this gives you a lot of versatility. You can prepare your sessions depending on the mood of the music you want to make. I will stop this mic as well. And as a disclaimer, okay, thank you. As a disclaimer, I had no idea what I was going to play today before I jumped on it. That's, I don't know, maybe a temerity, but that's how some people like to do it. Other people will prepare a session and have ideas in their mind. I'll be honest, I tried to prepare, but I realized I didn't have any way to output sound from my synthesizer, so I was at my hotel room and I realized I couldn't prepare. So. But I wanted to do it like that. And that's pretty much it for this part. Oh, I forgot to say it's like it's 2024. So if you like this and if you'd like to try it out yourselves, I wrote a little activity in our Learn website where, if I can find it, yeah. where I explain in quite a level of detail how this works, what kind of device you need, both in terms of what microcontroller and what synthesizers. If you already have some old synthesizer keyboard that has a MIDI input, that's the device you should use before buying anything. There are things that are quite cheap. You don't have to get a 2,000 euro synthesizer. You can get this 80 euro little board hacked together by this independent hacker somewhere that sells them on their website. And I explain how to find these weird devices in here. There's, of course, a connection that you will have to do from your microcontroller to your synthesizer to get it to receive MIDI and make music. And I explain what MIDI is all about. I explain what the blogs in our three music